Well, Advent is here. It is the season of preparation for Christmas. And it's in this season we begin to sing, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." We do this even in the midst of the COVID pandemic. We do this, I suspect, because we're so tired of this virus shroud that has dominated our lives. We sing this song because it reminds us of a better and frankly bigger reality. And that reality is captured in the Christmas song, "Love Came Down at Christmas." And if that's not a familiar song to you, perhaps John Paul Young's hit song, "Love Is in the Air," will work for you. Advent announces love is in the air. And we have a word for this love. It is Jesus. Not just baby Jesus, but Jesus who comes, Jesus who, in the words of another Christmas hymn, comes to abide with us. Do you recognize those lyrics? "Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel." And Emmanuel means God with us, or as another person put it, God in it with us, God in life with us, God with us in the midst of a pandemic that has upended our lives and indeed the whole world. Love is with us. Jesus is with us. God in the flesh, Emmanuel, is in it with us. Now, Christmas is complicated. The pandemic makes it more complicated, but even without the pandemic, Christmas is a complicated experience. It is frantic. It is a frenzy on several levels. Our time becomes frantic. Our shopping, spending, buying can become frenzied. Even our relationships can become frantic and frenzied during this season. But Christmas offers us the antidote to the frenzy of overconsumption and overfunctioning. And this antidote is sharing. We take a look around us and realize, my gosh, there is more than enough to go around. And that's because, friends, our God is the more than enough God. And this Jesus who comes to abide with us, Jesus who is love, which comes to abide with us, calls us, you and me, to share his love because God first shared it with us. Our gospel story today takes place against the backdrop of the Roman Empire and life in Palestine under the rule of Rome. Rome was squeezing people through oppressive systems of taxation. The rich were getting richer and the poor were getting poorer. And it seemed like no one was listening to the cries of God's people. Amidst all this, we meet Mary, who is one of these poor family persons. She is young, perhaps as young as 12 or 13 years old. She is pledged to a future family. She is pledged, engaged to Joseph. Now, we can romanticize Mary and her life, but the reality is her life, like most in her village, was hard. Daily life in poverty is hard. Mary lived in Nazareth, a small, nondescript Jewish community in the region of Galilee. No one was expecting the God of the universe to show up in Nazareth, but that's exactly what happened. Into this empire-dominated, impoverished person's life, the angel Gabriel appears and greets Mary. What does he say? I love the way Eugene Peterson translates this in the Message Bible. Gabriel says, "Good morning, you're beautiful with God's beauty," unquote. Gabriel is saying, you're beautiful inside and out, and Mary, God sees you. In fact, God is with you. I'm wondering if anyone, maybe you, needs to hear that this morning. God sees you. Maybe you feel pretty invisible these days. God sees you. Maybe the holidays are hard for you because these days bring a lot of stuff, a lot of grief for you. God sees you. I called a friend of mine about 10 days ago. He'd been on my heart for several days, and I felt like I needed to give him a call and simply see how he's doing amidst pandemics, crazy post-election politics, and he's a pastor. When I called and asked, "How are you doing these days?" he said, "Well, frankly, I was kneeling at the altar earlier this morning and saying, 'God, I don't want to do this.'" A bit later, he said, "Well, I think God heard me this morning and had you call me. God sees my friend who's struggling in these days. Maybe you think you've had an unimportant life, as though your life is a no-name, out-of-the-way life. But friend, the same God who showed up in a no-name, out-of-the-way town called Nazareth to greet a no-name, impoverished young girl named Mary, this same God sees, knows, and greets you." Do you realize how personal the greeting is? Mary, the God of the universe, sees you, and this same God chooses you. Friends, isn't this the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? John 3:16 announces to us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves the whole wide world. That's all of us. And yet, it is not solely about the whole world. God's message to Mary and God's message to us is absolutely personal. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. But even the hairs of your head are all counted. Don't be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows." That's a picture of how well God intimately knows you. He knows the number of hair follicles you have. I shave my head twice a week. I pluck hairs out of my ears and eyebrows. But God says, "I've got the updated, accurate count." Friends, the God of the universe has the whole world in his hands, yet he sees you. He loves you. He believes in you. A few days ago, my grandson Eden was sitting on a stool at our island next to me eating breakfast. I love to reach over and run my fingers through his hair and smile at him. He looks at me with oatmeal on his cheeks and smiles back. That, to me, is a picture of the God who sees, loves, and chooses us. Friend, you matter to God. You, in the words of the psalmist, are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are deeply loved. In the middle of Mary's very ordinary, "I'm nothing special, and I live in an out-of-the-way, no-name village," God shows up and says, "Mary, I see you." Now, God doesn't stop there. Mary is startled. She is shaken. But the angel says to her, "Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great, be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, no end ever to his kingdom." Wow, this is some baby. This is the kind of announcement that takes your breath away. Mary is shocked. She doesn't know what to do. All she has is a question. How? How is this going to happen? Because I've never slept with a man. You see, Mary was quite young, but she knew enough to know enough. How is this going to happen since I've not slept with Joseph? How is God going to do this? Luke tells us, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Highest hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy Son of God. And did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son old as she is? Everyone called her barren, and here she is 6 months pregnant. Nothing, you see, is impossible with God." I love how Gabriel responds to her. He provides information and explanation. He doesn't get angry. He's not frustrated with her. He doesn't chastise her. He gives her space to ask questions. That's right. The Mother of God has the grace to ask questions about faith, about God, and about obedience. God is not scaring her into obedience. He's not manipulating her. He gives room for her to wrestle, to ask questions, and to understand it for herself. Friends, do you realize that no one can be scared into the kingdom of God? I've seen the church try to do this before. As a young adult, I was at a large middle and high school movie event. The movie was about the end times. It was a cheesy, poorly made movie with terrible theology, but it had impact. At the end of the movie, lots of scared young kids were rushing forward to be saved. I remember watching this and thinking, I'm not sure this is an effective and lasting way to bring people to Jesus. You don't scare or manipulate people into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of Jesus is not rooted in fear. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." It doesn't say, "For God so scared the world." It is the unbelievable, "I see you, I know you, I choose you," love of God that draws people. In fact, 1 John 4, verses 18 through 19 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love God because He first loved us." Friends, it is love that motivates people towards God. It is love that transforms our lives. Namely, it is God's love that brings an absolute supernatural transformation to regular, ordinary people. It's divine love. And Mary is hanging on to this transformational good news, love of God, so that so many more can experience it. So Mary says, "Let it be," right? The angel of the Lord gave Mary the offer of a lifetime. Give birth to God's love. Partner with God to show the whole world what love with skin on it looks like. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "The Word," that's Jesus, "became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish." Friends, Mary's openness to what God is doing has the potential to influence and impact the whole world. And even though she's young, even though this is risky, and even though this is going to cause her, in the long run, some intense pain, she agrees. This teenage Jewish girl agrees. She lets go of her hopes and dreams and plans and says, "God, I think there's a better way. I think it's you." She agrees, and generations are changed forever. Luke chapter 1, verse 38 says, "And Mary said, 'Yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me, just as you say.'" Friends, this is not just a call to Mary, but to us. Are we willing in this Advent and Christmas season, which we are all too familiar with, are we willing to be surprised by God's love in fresh ways and to respond by saying, "Yes, let it be with me just as you say"? Even if we have questions, even if we have doubts, even if we don't have Jesus fully figured out, yes, let it be. Even in the midst of a pandemic and we're just not feeling the Christmas joy, okay, God, you see me. You choose me. You love me. You call me. Let it be with me, as you say. I don't know how many times I've said it, But I still believe with all my soul, God uses the most mundane, ordinary, simple things and people to do extraordinarily beautiful, life-transforming things. Could it be that we would let God use us to transform the people around us, the community around us, our families, our neighbors, our friends? Yes, Lord, let it be with me. In the same way that Mary was surprised by love, may we, in this roiling pandemic, in this up is down is up, false is true, and true is false, crazy post-election culture, may we, like Mary, be surprised by God's I see you, I choose you, I call you love, and say, yeah, Lord, me too, let it be. Join me as we pray. God, this is such a crazy time, and I feel powerless to push back against it. I'm a little person on the west side of Michigan. No president, no senator, no representative is calling me. It's as if I don't even exist. But Mary's story reminds me of something surprisingly different and wonderful. You, the God of the universe, see, love, choose, and call me to be part of your plan to save, to renew, to transform broken people and a broken creation, to make all things new. Holy Spirit, open my eyes and ears so I can be attuned to sacred moments amidst the mundane, calling opportunities amidst the ordinary. And as Mary said, yes, let it be. Enable me from the depths of my being to join her too. Yes, Lord, let it be. I am yours and you are mine. Thanks be to God. Amen.